You're listening to Missional Church Multiplication Week on the NewChurches.com Q&A podcast. All right, well, this week we're going to have fun.
We are.
Yeah, because we're going to be releasing one episode per day.
Every Monday to Friday. Yeah. Monday through Friday, 24/7.
And today we are going to listen to The Godfather.
Is it copyrighted? Can I do that?
That's fine. That's pretty good. Well, most of you may not know this, but Todd's actually a pretty decent singer.
Yes.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, I mean, when you want to be. Not like Beyonce type of singing, or, you know, like real legit skills, but I mean, you can do it. Like,
are you asking me to drop a few bars right now?
You should.
I don't think I will.
All right. Well, okay. So check this week, yes. Check out Todd Adkins on iTunes. Actually don't, cause I have no idea where that will lead.
I don't either. It's a very dark place probably.
Okay. So right. Today we are going to be listening from Alan Hirsch.
The Godfather.
Yes, The Godfather, Alan Hirsch. Yeah. So what's neat about this week is that we are going to be playing snippets every day from our Missional Church Multiplication course. So if you want to learn more about that, you can go to newchurches.com/missionalchurchmultiplication. But the goal of this week is for you to get a taste of this course, for you to really learn the best parts of what we have to offer in this course. So today we are going to be listening to Alan Hirsch. And before we do that, here's the deal.
Okay,
if you go to newchurches.com/missionalchurchmultiplication and purchase the course today, then you can get 10% off and a copy of The Church as Movement. That's a new book subtitled Starting and Sustaining Missional Incarnational Communities. This is one that is going to be coming out this next month, and it's by J.R. Woodward and Dan White Jr. Now, I've read it multiple times already. I've given them some feedback, helped them shorten the book down from a million pages to 200 something or 300. Wow. No, but I did actually was able to talk to them about it and help them out in that way. It's literally a fascinating book, a fantastic one to help your church move towards movement. So if you purchase the course today, use the coupon code MOVEMENTS FOREVER. Okay. MOVEMENTS FOREVER. And here's the thing. You get 10% off if you purchase the course with MOVEMENTS FOREVER if you purchase it tonight before 11:59 p.m. on August 8th. Here's the catch though. Actually, there's no catch. Here's the even better incentive.
But wait, there's more.
There's more. You get a free knife if you get this down. No.
Knife?
Really.
You went there, really? I thought you'd go like ShamWow prayer cloth.
Yeah, but the knife that cuts something through the can. Those ones. Right?
Yeah, but this is... Okay. It's not that kind of
ShamWow,
show.
ShamWow, I like that. ShamWow. Okay.
ShamWow prayer cloth. That was it. It soaks up like 10 times
the blessing. I can't believe you went there. Okay, but if you're a Plus member... If you're a Plus member,
you can probably get that at Lifeway Christian Store.
Okay, so let's keep on track here. All right, if you're a Plus member, one of the benefits of being a Plus member is that you get 25% off every course. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to let you actually combine coupons. So if you're a Plus member, you get not only 25% off, but you get an additional 10% off of that for the course. So do that today before 11:59 using the coupon code Movements Forever, and then using your Plus membership coupon code as well. So without further ado, let us listen to, where's that music, Todd? The Godfather.
In many ways, everyone is a movement in the making. Now, if you think about a group of 25 people in one house church in China, let's assume they're extroverted Chinese people. An extrovert, according to Dunbar's rule, knows about 150 people, their names and a bit of their narrative, their story. So let's say out of the 150 people that they know, let's say 10% of them come to know the Lord through the ministry of that person. 10% of that means that they got about 15 people around them then. The funny thing is that an ecclesia, a church in the Bible. That's exactly what it looks like in the Bible. And it also looks the same, of course, in China. That's not what we normally call a church. We might call it a cell group. But that's what the Bible calls churches, actually. That's a big paradigm shift, by the way. is that church is not building a centered kind of thing. I'll come back at that a little later on. But let me use a metaphor to maybe get this idea across. If I said that a seed contains the potential for a tree, I think you could agree with that. A seed has a potential for a tree. A tree, in turn, has a potential for a whole forest over here. But it's all contained in potential in the smallest part over here. The seed has a forest in it, at least in potential. A spark has a potential for a flame. A flame is a potential for a forest fire. But it's all contained in potential in the smallest part. And so we find that in movements, this is amply demonstrated in the phenomenology of movement, is that everyone has the potential for the whole in them. And this really, folks, is a huge shift in thinking the way we might think about people that attend church. They're not attenders, they're movements in the making. Everyone has a church in them. Literally, the 10-15% of people that they might win to the Lord in their network of relationships, that's a church in movement settings. And that is what multiplies. Each one of them has the same obligation. And so you can see that the capacity for massive transformational growth is already in everyone. And so every church is a seed pod filled with seeds that can change the world. And so this is how it works all the way in every movement that ever changed the world. Everyone's in the game, and that everyone carries the potential for world transformation in them. The next one I will kind of say is that, and this has to do with how movements operate and how we tend to reverse the equation. You know, I'm all for church planting, and this course is about church planting. The problem is when I use the word church, we think we know what that means. We are pretty certain that we've got that one pretty wired down. It's got a certain building shape. It's got a clergy kind of thing. It's got a denominational template. It's liturgies and polity and all that stuff that goes along with being church. Well, that's not church for movements. That might be, it is a church, but it's only a form of church. So I suggest that this is the principle. Don't plant the church. You're actually never commanded to plant churches in the scriptures. You plant the gospel or the Jesus story in ways that make sense to a generation. And out of that Jesus story, the church will emerge. Jesus is the one who builds his church. He promises that I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It's not our job to build the church. It's Jesus' job. Our job is to represent Jesus truthfully and to plant the story of Jesus in ways that make sense to a generation. And let Jesus get on with the thing. So I think this is very liberating. This is good news, folks, is that we can pretty much, you know, when we think about planting churches, you can get all freaked out about it. Actually, you can plant the gospel story. You've got to get a handle on it. And it is not just about my personal sins before Jesus. It's a much bigger story than that. It's about the kingdom of God reaching out to us in and through Jesus Christ. That's a big issue. It's a life-orienting, life-changing thing. The next principle, related to it a little bit, is if this last one was plant the gospel, don't plant the church, then let me suggest that you plant a movement, don't plant the church. And the principle here simply is this. Begin with the end in mind and end with the beginning in mind. If you want a movement, then you have to start with a movement and you have to stay being a movement all along the way. Don't give up on it. In other words, you need to be consistent all throughout for it to be successful. So begin with the end in mind and end with the beginning in mind. When I say plant a movement, don't plant a church, what it does is it commits us to think very carefully about the model and the design of what we're trying to do up front. Most of us tend to, when we plant churches, go about planting what I would say is a service. Most of our efforts go into the Sunday expression or the weekend expression. The best way to test this is to see where your budgets go. The budget is a theological document. It does actually say what we think is most important. And for most of our budgets go towards weekend experiences for people. When we say plan a movement is that you've got to take a much bigger view. You have to also look in terms of scalability and you have to engage everyone in the game. So that's why I say when you begin with the end in mind, you have to engage all these things right up front. And it's a very, very useful way of disciplining ourselves to think in a certain manner. The other thing about movements is that you This is another point I would say, is that you need to build the potential for the whole in all the parts. In this is a major part of thinking at the moment in terms of organizational studies. It's called holographic organizations. You can look it up and check it out. It's fascinating stuff, that each part has the potential for the whole. Now, movements are actually, folks, DNA-based organizations. They carry the code inside them. They don't have complex codes that are imposed from without. Everyone understands it's really a combined set of principles and purpose that is embedded at the very, very heart of the organization. And everyone gets to understand it because they are actually discipled into it. And because each one carries the code, it can go everywhere. Your body is a classic example. Every cell has the DNA in it. Strangely enough, it might only use a part of the DNA, but it's all there in every part. Our bodies are a miracle of organization. As I understand it, there are 35 trillion cells in the human body, and no boss cell telling it what to do. In other words, they're self-organized. It's an absolute miracle that I can even speak right now. And I would say that the reason why it's that is because it's DNA-based. And we can learn a huge amount. And this sounds geeky, but we can learn a huge amount about how the church ought to organize based on understanding the power of DNA. Build the ideas, the core ideas that matter, and clearly understood at the center of the organization, that everyone understands them. They're principles of action, not just simply creeds of, you know, sets of ideas, but principles of action, discipleship. Once you build that into the core, then you will find that it has a natural life of its own and is able to go to scale and to have high impact along the way. What I want to do now is to change gear a little bit and to not so much look at movement accelerators, which are the kind of the factors that I've talked to you about in the last half hour, but I want to look at ways in which we block the potential of movement through the behaviors and the inherited understandings that we have. And this, it's going to sound a little critical, because it has to be, because in living systems theory, and this is another organizational theory, you either look it up or trust me, all our living systems, my body included, is built for health and design and flourishing. They're naturally designed to flourish. If something's wrong, then there's something blocking the flourishing that is built into the system. In living systems theory, and you can look at Peter Senge for this if you want, the fifth discipline is a classic example of this, is he would say that you don't have to work at the accelerators. What you have to do is to take out that which is blocking the natural growth of the system, and everything will take, it'll have its own life, it'll grow. Take the blockers out. I call them movement killers. They're things that we're doing in the life of the organization, in church plants, in the way we think about church, deeply embedded into that paradigm, the rationality I talked about right at the beginning. They're deeply embedded understandings there that block our capacity to be God's people as He intended us to be. If you take the blockers out, the killers out, guess what? I believe, and it's been my experience, that movement will take place. You can talk about this as a force field analysis if you're interested in the geeky side of it, but so we actually take out that which resists natural growth. So for instance, let me give you number one. This is probably an easy one to get. I won't spend a terrible long time on it because it's self-evident, even though the funny thing is we don't do terribly much about it. But the first big movement killer is the non-discipleship of the church. It's a huge issue. The fact is that our churches really do not have much of a way of discipling people.
And let's close in prayer.
Yes. Man, Alan just... He just introduced a ton of new concepts.
In a very short period of time.
Yeah. But what I love about what he said was that he's really looking at this from different points of view, looking at the church, the Western church, from different points of view. And I love exactly what he said at the end, was the idea of, hey, instead of looking for movement accelerators, look for what's blocking the movement and remove that.
Well, and, you know, one of our key roles as a leader is finding problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily solving problems. It's finding problems. Because if you are consistently doing that,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, you're getting better and better and better. versus just kind of letting it coast or only dealing with problems when they arise. You want to find the problem when it's early.
Yeah.
So you can address it.
A few weeks ago, there was just massive rain, thunderstorms all night. And when I was driving to work the next day, one of my neighbors has this field beside them and it was like flooded. There was probably 5-6 inches of rain. Like everything was flooded in his field. And then that's how it was when I drove to work. And when I came back from work, the field was completely dry, right? And it's just fascinating to think that, you know, there may be these floodgates or these things that can happen in our churches to move it towards multiplication. And all we have to do is remove the blockers or remove the things that are preventing it from unleashing. And once you do that, then the water will disperse.
Well, because part of the problem is if you don't do the necessary work to take care of some of the systems issues. So what he was talking about there is, you know, I see the whole world through the lens of Leadership Pipeline now.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's really, okay, if you get those systems in place, then you can deal with some of the harder issues. And if you get those systems in place, you're going to be able to scale and grow. And, you know, it shouldn't take a catastrophic event for us to take a step back and look and try to find the problem for that, or for us to have a come to Jesus talk because we aren't growing and then go, oh, now we know why we're not growing. Why didn't we see that before? Well, because you weren't looking.
Yeah.
You weren't looking.
That's a good point. Well, if you want to learn the rest of what Alan has to say, then you can go to newchurches.com/missionalchurchmultiplication. And if you want to get that course at 10% off and a free book, The Church as Movement, you can get that by entering the coupon code MOVEMENTSFOREVER. If you're a Plus member, you can add enter your Plus membership coupon as well to get an additional 25% off. Now, here's the thing. You have to do that before 11:59 p.m. Central tonight. And tomorrow we'll be back with John Tyson sharing about a multi-congregational approach to reaching a city and a different deal. Now, that episode or that lesson from Alan was highly philosophical, highly theoretical. He gets into more practical elements later on. Now, we really wanted Alan to start off our course with that theory, with that understanding, really helping us think differently. But as you'll see the rest of this week and on the course online, you'll see highly practical topics throughout. You'll be listening to them throughout the week and you can see them in the course. So be sure to get that at newchurches.com/missionalchurchmultiplication. We'll see you tomorrow.